Hi, and thanks for tuning in. My guest today is Peter Byford, chairman of the Leo Computer Society. Peter, Leo, what is it and why is it so important?
It's important because Jay Lyons and company in the mid-20th century were probably the, were the biggest catering company in the UK and maybe even Europe. And they did everything themselves. There was no way they would outsource anything. Mm. And so in 1949, they realised that they were getting overwhelmed by the amount of work they had to do, and they wanted to automate it. So they sent two of their specialists to America to try and see whether they had a computer or some sort of automated process that would help them with their office work. They came back with nothing. They were told, no, in America, they're only used for scientific and other exercises, but not for business. But somebody did recommend that there is a computer being built in Cambridge called EDSAC. And the design of that, which was a programmable design, would probably be suitable for what they wanted to do. Mm. So in 1949, they gave EDSAC £3,000. 1947, they gave EDSAC, the Cambridge Maths Laboratory, £3,000 to finish the work on the understanding that they could use the design to build their own computer. Mm. The EDSAC computer did actually work for what's the scientific work that and mathematical work that Cambridge wanted. So in 1949, the Lyons board gave the go-ahead to build a computer themselves, which was known as Leo, Lyons Electronic Office, or Leo. So the Leo machine was built over a period of 2 years with five or so engineers, some of whom used to work for Lyons, and one or two, John Pinkerton, was hired on the recommendation of the man at Cambridge, as it happened.
So Peter, there's the computer, but there's also the fact that it had to do some work. You know, it had to do, from what you were saying, I guess before this computer, the Leo computer, was everything basically pieces of paper being passed around between people?
Yeah, they had 300 tea shops around the country. They had four corner houses, several hotels, including the Strand Palace and the Cumberland Hotel in London. So there was a lot of work to be automated. And they really were sinking under the amount of paperwork they've got. So In 1951, they did tests of the machine they designed, and in September 1951, they actually did their first run of the bakery valuation job, which was the job they decided would be the first one to do. And this worked very well, but it was only a trial run. In November, at the end of November 1951, they took over from the clerks who were doing the bakery valuation process, and they ran that successfully, and it was then used for their own onwards. November 29th or maybe 30th, 1951 was the date that the world's first business process was done on a computer.
So when did you get involved with Leo?
I got I applied and I got an interview, and we had to do an aptitude test, which I gather was probably in those days a Leo 2, which was the next range after the single Leo 1. One of the programs, and I think we had to make a cup of tea or something daft, but it was a simple program and you just had to do the logic. And out of the eight people who had the interview at the time, or who tried it, three of us got through. And I was one of the three who was offered a job at Leo, which having quite enjoyed doing this little silly program, I was quite happy to join. During that time, Leo One was running, and I was able to actually see Leo One running.
And Computer Weekly, we're celebrating our 60th birthday, and you know, one of the things that Computer Weekly is always trying to do is we are the voice of the businesses and the governments and the departments who actually use the computers, you know, rather than the sort of the industry people who are sort of saying this is a great piece of tech. You know, like this today you can talk about AI and everyone's talking about that, but it's when you say, well, exactly tell me what you're doing with it. And they say, well, you know, then you have to look at what businesses are doing and say, or local government departments are doing with the technology. So it's interesting that, you know, I guess one of my questions I'd like to ask you is, are you sort of inspired by what's been going on? From the mid 60s, when I guess you left Leo Computers, joined the AA, and I mean, this was probably before the mini computers came along, and then you had you had democratization of the computer of business computing, you know, as it grew bigger and bigger. Till the PC arrived.
Yes, I mean, my biggest or the longest period I've worked was at Eastern Gas, which is part of British Gas. And in 1980, I was information manager, which meant I had to look at what PCs were my personal computers, and there were quite a number of personal computers to look at in those days. And I remember going to Esso and talk to the information manager there, and I said, which PC are you intended to buy? He said, the IBM PC. So I said, well, what architecture is the IBM PC? How does it compare with all these other PCs? I don't know, he said, but it's IBM.
Were you a programmer or in IT at the time when we were going through the Y2K, because that was a big issue for Computer Weekly. When I joined in 1998, it was like the front page story every week was a Y2K, year 2000 bug, millennium bug, if you want to.
Well, yes, I was. I was working at British Airways then. Then they were looking at the various things, and everybody was panicking about it. And of course, it all happened without much, a bit like a damp squib, really.
But it was a damp squib, I guess, because the things had been fixed. I can't imagine if two-digit date codes had remained, we'd still be having an electricity grid and billing systems from British Gas or whatever. You know, I think a lot of these things may have fallen over a long time ago.
Yes, I mean, it was certainly that I was actually involved on the billing systems for British Gas, and that there was a sort of sheer panic from some people as to what the hell's going to happen. Nothing did, really. They do a lot of preparation work, and I think a lot of money was spent on what might happen and preparation in case it all fell over, etc., etc. But basically, it didn't in most cases. There's one or two mishaps, but nothing very much.
I guess there's very few. I mean, you know, there's some of those computers. Well, not the machines, but the software is still running today. You know, the core banking system never gets changed because it's deemed too risky to change.
But they aren't on the enormous machines that we were using in the 80s or the 60s to 90s, but has gradually got smaller. Yeah, it was That was interesting times. I mean, I ended up getting into data. I was data manager at Eastern Gas. And when I left British Gas, I moved into as a data consultant. So I was I'm quite interested in the various problems with data and understand what your data was. But that was very good. And Oracle was the big database, and I suppose it still is.
Now, just finally, it's quite an important year for the for LEO Computer Society and the LEO Computer. Why is that?
What's happening in November is we will have it will be the 75th anniversary at the end of November of the world's first business computer, LEO One, and we are celebrating this at events at TNMOC, the Computer Museum at Bletchley Park, and also CCH, which the Centre for Computer at Cambridge.
So the Cambridge ones was where EDSAC was made, is that right?
Yes, it was. I mean, the museum is just outside Cambridge, so it isn't really related to that, although obviously LEO is directly related to EDSAC.
Okay, fantastic. Well, Peter, you know, thank you ever so much. It's been fantastic talking to you today. Great conversation, and I look forward to seeing how the celebrations go. Thanks for tuning in. You can find the podcast on iTunes and Amazon Music and read the article on www.computerweekly.com.